our first tonight. We're going to have a treat. She's from a very, very, very far off tropical locale. Mary Callahan is all the way here from Rankin County, Mississippi. And we are so glad that she is here tonight. And she's having a new experience. Normally she does this with her husband. And the Gulf Coast Baptist Association has split up a husband and wife. Her husband is on the west side of our association, and Mary is with us. I'm not going to tell you much about, in fact, that's pretty much what I'm going to tell you about, Mary, because I'd like her to share with you. Some of you are going to have a very real connection with Mary in just a short amount of time, but we thank her for coming and giving this week to telling her story and reminding people that the mission field is not always overseas. And sometimes it's not even out of state. Now, a lot of folks have a hard time believing that Mississippi needs missionaries, but we do. And in some of the fields of service, we desperately need missionaries. So we're going to turn this over to Mary. She has as much time as she would like to take.
I am so glad to be here. I have been, ever since they told me I was going to be hosted by your church, I looked at your little things, your overview, you know, how they've got those pictures that, and I could see you had a nice sign out there. And I said, my goodness, they have a really nice sign, but it's not working right now, is it? But I really am glad to be here. And I bring you greetings from Rankin County Baptist Association, where Brother Alan Stevens, my director of mission, was a pastor at one time here. Now, I don't know what year that was, but I think it was a long time ago. So, but Brother Alan, does anybody know? Oh, he did. He married you. I know, the wedding ceremony. And she already told me, that she's been here since the Quonset Hut was here. So, awesome. Well, I love this area. And mainly, I love this area because, you know, there's a lot of retired military in this area. And my husband, he joined the Navy to see the world. We grew up in North Alabama. And he said that he's joining the Navy to see the world because he wants to get out of Alabama. So he said, I'll stay 4 years. And he stayed 24 years. And I said, when is this going to end? You know, but, oh, God did some wonderful things in our life because, I mean, we grew up in homes that went to church. We went to church every time their doors were open. But we really didn't know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We thought Jesus was just the what we studied in Sunday school, but we didn't know what he really did for us. We thought because our parents were saved, we were saved. And he had to take us to Puerto Rico, some missionaries there led my husband and I to the Lord, and our life changed completely at that time. So today, well, I have to say that when right when my husband was getting out of the military, he decided to go to seminary and to go in the ministry. He felt God had been calling him a few years. So you got military, ministry, they're about the same, you know, they're really about the same. But he went on to seminary and everything and got a master's in Christian education. We actually were going in cross-culture studies, and we were going overseas because we knew God had called us to missions. But the doors kept closing on us. We were waiting and waiting and trying to find out where God was going to send us. And in the meantime, we get this call from North American Mission Board, and they said, we think there's going to be a war. So they wanted us to consider going to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and ministering to the 101st Airborne in Kentucky. Now, I know there's somebody here from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Hoptown, and Clarksville. And you can turn my PowerPoint on, okay? So we went there, and North American Mission Board said, oh, this war's going to be over. You won't even be there probably a year, and you'll be gone. After 4 years, we said, okay, Lord, you know, we were so instrumental in opening doors to churches who did not know how to minister to military. They didn't know. And one of the reasons they wanted us there, because the Navy had always had deployments. The Army and the Air Force had not had the deployments that the Navy had always had. Now, I'm saying Air Force probably had more than the Army did. But they wanted us there because we knew about deployments. So I said, I was a contracting officer for the government. I was under the resident officer in charge of construction. I think y'all have one here or maybe over in Gulfport. And so I said, I'll just transfer up there. You know, when you work for the government, for the federal government, you just go where you need to go. So I told my husband, I'll go with you and I'll stand behind you. I'll stand behind my man. And so I went there and started working. Well, he wanted me to do a support group for the families. So I brought some women together. The first night it was 8 women. The next week it was 80. And then it kept going up and up and up. And so the ministry, I mean, it was awesome, y'all. Oh, my goodness. On a Sunday morning, there may be 15 lined up to get baptized, you know, or that they had gotten saved. It was awesome during those days. And y'all probably saw it here, too, that God was just, oh, my, he was opening doors for so many families to get to know him, to accept him as their Lord and Savior. So that was, we helped Lifeway set up programs for military. We helped them write material. We were there in Nashville quite often. I was glad we were near Nashville. And but again, God was laying it on my heart that I needed to be full-time with my husband. I went to my pastor and I said, you know, I think God wants me to leave my job. And I tithe to this church a lot. I don't know if y'all can make it without my money. He did the same thing y'all doing. He laughed at me. He said, oh, Mary, if God is calling you to leave that job, you got to leave it. And it's not going to matter about this church. So I went to my boss and I said, I've got 15 years in the government. I can wait 5 more years and retire with 20 years. But God wants me to leave now. And my boss said, well, you're just going to have to leave with a deferred retirement, meaning you're going to walk away from your GS position making good money to making no money. I've been working now for a little over 10 years with no pay, and I have been so happy because I'm doing what God called me to do. So it is okay. It's okay. But I want to start out here. I know y'all been doing your Annie Armstrong thing, and so we've got that. We've been all month talking about Annie. And how that your offerings for North American, your Annie Armstrong, 100% goes to the missionaries. And also our cooperative program, if we didn't have that, they take care of our administrative. And God is just, we need to support our Southern Baptist groups that we have that are helping. And I have to add in, Margaret Lackey is a good offering, too. We get money from Margaret Lackey. But I want you all to, and let me see if I can get this thing to work now. I did it. So if you look here, I get excited about the funniest things, you know, because my husband usually does all that. I'm so glad y'all making me feel comfortable. We are a multi-purpose ministry of Rankin Baptist. Now, we need to really change that because we send people all over the state, so I need to change that to Central Mississippi or Mississippi altogether. But we model the love of Jesus Christ, and we meet the needs of the broken and wounded of Mississippi. You heard me in the little video say that. But we have all kinds. When I called from Kentucky to say, we were under Kentucky Baptist Convention. They were awesome. I called down to Mississippi Baptist Convention. I said, I'm moving to Mississippi. What kind of ministry do you have for me to do in Rankin County? They said, we have prisons. I said, I stalled a little bit. They go, I've been good all my life to stay out of those things. I've never been to one. And they said, oh, well, we've been praying for 5 years for somebody to come and work in those prisons and especially do Christian Women's Job Corps programs, which I had done in Birmingham, Kentucky, and everywhere. So I said, oh, does that mean God is called? And this is where I need to go. So I came, and before I even had my boxes unpacked, I was driving around that prison. Now, that's our women's prison in Mississippi, Central Mississippi Correctional Facility. Everybody, men and women, has to go through that prison to be processed, okay? You have to go through there one time or another. Well, I was praying to go in. God, if you want me in there, you've got to find a way I can get in there. The women were praying to get out, of course, and they said, we're praying to get out, and you're praying to go in. Well, God put me in there. He put me in there legally, y'all. I didn't have to do anything wrong to get in there. I came in there legally, and I knew that's where he wanted me. I knew. So let's get on with what I need to talk to y'all a little bit more about. And you can't have a missionary speak without talking about the harvest, right? Your pastor probably preaches this message, and y'all know it all by heart. But I want you to turn to Matthew 9 again. And probably you'll have another missionary this week that might mention it again. But this means so much to us. And I want it to mean the same to you. It is something you need to think about. Okay, we ready? It's Matthew 9:35-38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just praise you for letting me be here. I've been praying for this church ever since I knew this would be the church that sponsored me. I'm thinking, Lord, they want somebody from China, not Mississippi. But Lord, you knew the church that I needed to be in. You knew where I would have the connections that others would understand what I do. Lord, I pray right now that you just help us all here to think about people that are all around us that are hurting, that don't know you or don't even know how to act because they were never taught about morals or values or anything about you, Lord. Lord, I'm going to give you all the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I want you to look at the picture up there, you know. Now, if you go to Hoptown or Hopkinsville, you're going to see the wheat fields out there in Kentucky. It's awesome. And you guys, do y'all have things growing around here? Not much. I'm thinking, I didn't even see anything. I mean, you go to North Mississippi and you got other things growing. Well, I shouldn't even say it that way. That might be sound like y'all got some things growing that you shouldn't be growing, huh? Oh, you can tell I work with people that talks a different language. But listen, you know that's what he's talking about. But look over on the other side at all the people. Y'all looking at the same thing I am, aren't you? Well, look at all those people. If you go to a ball game, there's people everywhere. People, people, people. They're screaming for their team. They're screaming for Alabama. They're screaming for UK. They're screaming for State or Ole Miss or whatever. But look at them. They're just like the harvest. If we don't get to the harvest, it's going to die. If we don't get to the people, they're going to die. So we have to think about that now, because there's a lot of people out there. Let me go to the next thing, and I hope I have my stats right here. Oh, I do. Now, I heard that you said that was more 82% on the coast, Pastor. 75 to, and I knew that there was more. I didn't get a chance to do, but right now, and it's probably, it changes every day, every year, but the last I got was 68.39% of the state of Mississippi is unchurched. Now, you know, I don't know how they find all of that out, because I think it may be even closer to 72% maybe or something, maybe even closer to 75%, because you know that the neighborhoods, everything, people's thinking is changing just ever since the new things have come in, laws have been passed, and everything is changing. Well, in Rankin County, at the Central Mississippi Correctional Facility, where I actually minister there, right now there's like 3,434 inmates. You might say, that's not really that many. But when you put all of, well, maybe we'll just say 3.5 people or 2.5 that might be relative families of theirs, their families, it affects 10,000 or more people because of the families that are involved with that inmate. I mean, it's just not just that inmate, it's their family is affected too. So we try to minister as much as we can. And then we have a correctional work center, which has 300 inmates, and they actually go out and work on the side of the road. They might be cleaning. If you've been up in our area, you see them working on the side of the road if you go up 49. And some of them go and work in restaurants and things. So some of them are making restitution for their crime. Now, you may think that they just went over there and got by with free food and all this stuff. Well, if they got any medical help, they're going to have to pay for some of that. And if they had their judge made them, you know, have charges that they've got to pay a fine, that sort of thing, which could be thousands, they've got to pay that before they can be released. So they go to this work center to work. Anybody at this work center could not have had a crime with a gun. So they, most of the time, it's drugs or identity theft or something like that. Awesome place. Last week, I graduated like 18 ladies that just finished experiencing God, y'all. It was my first time to teach experiencing God to the ladies, and I wanted mature Christians. I started out with 24, but some of them got out or something. They got transferred somewhere else. But it was wonderful to see them do their homework and study their experience in God. It was awesome. Well, over there, I teach, sometimes I teach job training to them. I teach Celebrate Recovery and that sort of thing in that. And then over at the big prison, We have a program. We call it the 1A. And in the video clip, I said it's been over 5 years and no one's returned. It's been around 8 years now, and I've only had like 2%. And that is because they did a technical violation where they didn't pay their parole officer or something. But for the state of Mississippi, I'm thinking it's up to like 70% now do return. So that is sad because they have so many strikes against them when they do leave. So that right there is a big feel. And like I said, I did not, had never done this type work. Well, you know, when we read the scripture about Jesus, when he was going about and he was teaching and he was proclaiming and he was healing every disease and every affliction, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. What about you? Do you have compassion for people that you see in your neighborhood, that you see at Walmart and you see at the grocery store? Do you have compassion for them? Or do you say, oh, they just need to get off the streets. They just need to get a life. They need to get a job. They need to, you know, do we do that? Or do we put our Jesus glasses on and see them the way he would see them? And in the scripture, of course, in Colossians 3:12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion. We need to put that on. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We need to show compassion. Now, believe me, I've been lied to, and I've been told stories that you won't believe. But you know what God told me? He said, I called you to do something, Mary. I'm going to take care of the rest of the story. Now, when I have some people that I poured myself into, and I try to not pour myself into everybody because Jesus didn't pour himself into all of the disciples. He poured himself into 3, but he graduated 11, right? Well, when they let me down, it's hard, y'all. It is hard. I sometimes cry and say, Lord, why didn't you call me to work with little children? Everybody loves little children. That's right. I mean, you know, you go somewhere and have a little picture up there and everybody gets excited about what you're going to say. But when I tell them I'm talking about prisoners and ex-offenders or addicts, okay. But you know somebody. Everybody has a relative or a neighbor or somebody who has had the drug that's been around. The drugs is going crazy, and we've got to do something about it. Now, you may wonder, why was I touched with that in the first place? Well, remember I told you, I grew up in a church that we went to church. My dad was the minister of music. Oh, my goodness, we sang. Now, we didn't sing always. We sang. We had wonderful singing going on in our church. And everybody loved my dad. But you know what? When Valium came on the market in the 60s, my mother became addicted to Valium. And do you know, I never remember anybody from the church coming to check on my mother. She didn't go to church with us because she was usually, you know, couldn't make it, couldn't even get out of bed. And I don't remember the women of the church ever coming to check on her. We've got to have compassion. Women, if you miss somebody at this church, they're not here, you call them and find out. Because if they're dealing with depression or postpartum, which they found out that was the cause of my mother's, or something, my mother ended up mixing the wrong drugs and she did pass away. It was hard. It was hard for me to think I never got to have my mother the way that I wanted her. My own children called her your mother. Your mother's on the phone. Thinking, why don't they call her grandmother? But they were ashamed. And the drugs are getting worse and worse. We've got to have some compassion, y'all. We've got to have some compassion for the young. And we've got to have compassion for the older. So, let me get on with this now. Okay, let me show you where the Grace Center is. The Grace Center is the place where I have an office in the Rankin County Baptist Association, and I have an office in the Grace Center. I have an office in the prison, and I have an office in my car. You know, wherever I go, I'm ministry. But at the Grace Center, we teach Bible studies, and we do. Last night, we graduated 8 ladies who had just finished going on to other things. Next Tuesday night, we'll graduate around 10 who got their GED. And, I mean, you know, it is awesome to see what happens. I mean, last week it was graduating a group from the prison. And when you see, I wish to just make a picture of what they look like before and what they look like when Jesus comes into their life. Okay? Because they are not going to be a good employee. They are not going to be a good parent. They're not going to be a good neighbor until the inside gets taken care of. And it's going to be hard for them to do anything on the outside without the inside being taken care of. Now, we have added on ESL because in our community of Richland, we had a lot of from Honduras. I mean, sometime in our classes, it looks like, you know, we got all countries there represented. And then we do citizenship classes to help them get their citizenship. So we saw the need. You know, I'm saying, Lord, my plate's getting full and you want me to do this now? But Sunday I'm at the Korean church, y'all. So I'm awesome about that. But there's the Grace Center. And you can see some of my ladies there. Everybody gets a mentor. Everybody has a mentor that walks with them. Now, I have to tell you, the men are on Wednesday. The men don't go as many days as the women. The men don't like to have their picture made. My husband just had 4 guys that just got their GED. And they're not going to get a job until they get a GED because that's, or they're going to have, you know, really jobs that the drugs will be around them. So there's some of our ladies graduating. And here is, in our prison ministries, at the Central Mississippi Correctional Facilities, they actually come into us for 6 months. And they come 4 days a week. And we actually are not even under the chaplains. We're under the contractor for the medical. And because I convinced them, like, it's been 8 years now, that if they would take care of the medical, you know, the mental, the physical, I could take care of the spiritual. And lives would be changed. So they said, okay, let's try it. And it worked. So then all of these clinical psychologists and these psychiatrists, they come and they want to know, what are y'all doing? They're sitting at the meeting. All my team comes in and we say, we give them Jesus. And they go, wow, you know. So, I mean, it's amazing how their lives change. And it's been working. And no one has caused us any problem. Now, our last graduation, we had a Muslim girl the whole 6 months. And she got saved, y'all. She got saved. So she gave her awesome testimony about how she had never had peace in her life until Jesus came and changed, gave her that peace. So we're really proud of her. Okay, let's see. Now, remember, we said that he had pity. Some, you know, down south we call it pity or compassion. But he also saw that potential. When he put those glasses on, and when he didn't have to put them on. When we put our Jesus glasses on, we can see potential. See, I see everybody by what God is going to make them to. I just know he's going to make the Sunday school teachers. He's going to have the new deacons and the preachers and the workers at the stores and everything that are going to be so much better. So he saw the potential in them. He saw what they could be, because he said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So he saw that in them, that there was potential. There's a girl, her name is Christy. Christy just got her GED the other day. She was a single mom, two teenage girls. She was working at our local school in the cafeteria. And every day she would come in right after she got off from work, and she would study and study and study. And then she would come, and on Tuesday nights, we have a Tuesday night program, she would study, and she got it. And she is so happy. And then there's another guy, Landon, that's my husband with him. He just got his the other day. We can't tell stories of everybody because there's so many. But he, you know, he was down at the Camp Shelby, and he got kicked out of that. I mean, that's bad, you know, when you get kicked out of that. And he just, it was like he had no, he didn't want to really better himself at first. He just was just there, you know, and my husband's trying to encourage him. And so he finally decided after he got saved, because everybody has to do a Bible study. You can't come to our program without Bible study. And so many of them get saved and baptized during that time. So there was the potential. Okay, what is the potential for sending across Mississippi? Because we do want churches to minister to them. Now, sometime I call around to Mississippi and other places and say, we have this girl that's coming, and she's memorized, you know, over 140 verses, and she's just on fire. She's so excited, and she's coming to your area. Could you have somebody that will just be, you know, just kind of mentor her or be there for her at the church? And they say, she won't fit in our church. And I'm sorry that that happens, but they're being honest, okay? They're being honest. I don't want them to go and not fit in, y'all. They got to fit in. We've got to reach them. We got to help them. And sometime when they're getting out, they're so excited, they'll say, oh, Miss Mary, tell us what church people act like. And I go, they're just forgiven just like you. They're just like you, no different. They're forgiven too. Changed lives. Last year we had 64 decisions where we discipled them. Usually we have around 70 or so, but we're getting where the disciple is taking longer. Families are restored. Families are coming back together. The literacy. Last night I had a girl reading the Bible, and she's now, I think she's getting close to 40, and she had never been able to read the Bible. And she read some scripture last night, and it was just awesome to see her. Everybody in the community sees her walking around holding her head down because she's ready to give up, because she didn't feel good about herself because she couldn't read. Oh, people say, man, I saw her the other day. She's looking good. Her hair looks good. She's walking around, you know, smiling. But that made so much better. But we want to have good church members, you know. We want that potential. And our English as a second language, I mean, we got to reach out to our neighbors. Now, we have more and more that are not like us. We have to reach our neighbors. That's what he wants us to do. So we need to look for them. If you know, if you see them in the grocery store or they're, you know, around you, talk to them. Ask them what you could do to help them to just feel more comfortable in our country. We have class time. It's kind of dark on this for some reason, but our class time, it is just awesome when we're having Bible studies and the women are working on their GED or computer skills or something like that. But another thing that we do is over 30,000 Christmas cards, y'all. Women, if you see any Christmas cards on sale anywhere, you buy them, okay? We take care of Christmas cards all year long. What we do is I bring mission teams in. They'll be coming in here pretty soon from Mississippi College. And they put, each inmate gets 5 Christmas cards, and they send it to their family because that's the only way they can make amends in their life, or anything that they can give them is that Christmas card. Purses, okay? Ladies, we need purses. We did call it purses with a purpose, but I found out that was Cancer Society. So it's handbags for hope. And my ladies go, what is a handbag, you know? But these are, my husband said, these are big purses. I saw the women waiting at the bus station with a little old plastic Walmart bag with all they had. And I go, you don't have anything? They say, so we do big purses, and we fill them up with things to help them start over. And, you know, I ask them, why do you ride the bus home anyway? And they said, oh, Miss Mary, we've caused enough shame to our family, so it's better for us to ride the bus home and start over. So those are some things you can help us with. Now, wait a minute. We got to talk about this problem. We can't finish up this, you know. Like I said, your pastor can preach this message, but there's a problem here. And I've always saw the problem was we didn't have enough people, right? There's just not enough people, but I think there's more to it. I think Jesus' concern is not so much that the lost will not come to the Father, because if the Holy Spirit's working and we do what we're supposed to do, they can come to Him. But the church will not go to the lost. Are we just staying in between, in our safe place, in our inside, and not going out and ministering to them? So two problems, number of workers and the concern of the workers. Are you concerned for the lost? Do you pray for them? Do you think about your neighbors? But let me tell you, you need to start with your family. Don't be standing over a casket wondering if that family member ever accepted Christ. Don't. You go ahead right now and you share the gospel with that family member. Now, if they get mad, you do what God is wanting us to do. We need to start with our families. And if we can start with our families, we can go on out. But we have got to get out there and take care of those fields, all those people there that need to hear the gospel. Okay, I gave y'all a challenge, and I know another verse that you probably all know by heart. It's the Great Commission, the challenge. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What are we? He's gave us authority. He gave us authority to do this. We need to get out there and do it. There's my husband. We love what we're doing. When you do what God calls you to do, if you're sitting here and you know God wants you to do something and He's calling you, you are going to have so much joy when you're doing what He called you to do. Don't worry about being able to sign those millions of dollar contracting my signature anymore, because I love to see people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I challenge you to get out into your communities, to reach those people that don't look like you, to reach those people that may not smell too good. They may not look like you, but they need to know about Jesus. everybody needs to know. Thank you, Pastor. I'll let you have it, and you can sum it on up for me, okay? Thank you.
Okay, this is the first night, and several of our ladies and some men along the way from time to time have been involved with the prison ministry here in our neck of the woods, so I knew there would be a connection. You have heard a huge challenge, and it is my prayer that you will take that challenge very seriously. I do invite you, please, the rest of the week, come in at 6:30. Drag other people here if you have to drag them here, but we need to hear this. This is the face, one of the faces of what God has called into our state here. We're going to hear from around the world as well. These are people who have heard a call and have said yes. They challenge us because every one of us have a call from God. May not be vocational missions, may not be vocational ministry, but all of your ministers. And so I pray that you'll take that challenge seriously. Let's have a word of prayer, and I want us to have a prayer very specifically for Mary and Roy and the ministry they're doing. Father God, I come to you in the great name of Jesus. We will never have the words to express the gratitude of what is ours in that name. Our vocabularies are just not strong enough. But God, we owe everything to him, everything to you. We couldn't even call you God, we couldn't call you Father if he hadn't given himself. And so we thank you. And I thank you for Mary and Lord, for at least a brief moment in time in our lives, you brought us together. And we've seen a woman who has a heart of compassion. Many of the people she works with, society has given up on. Many of the people she works with, the church has given up on. And God, forgive us that. But I pray that you will constantly give her this excitement, this joy that is in you. I pray that every woman she comes into contact with will see in her a heart of compassion, will see in her the love of Christ. And I just pray that the ministry that has been going on for 8 years will just have a ripple effect across this state. Lord, keep her and her husband safe. Keep them strong. And every step of their journey, may they know they walk in the palm of your hand. And I pray for the people she's ministering to, that Roy is ministering to. God, help them see, probably for the very first time in their life, they are worthwhile. They are valuable because they are made in your image. And you love them with a love that will never die. Help them to understand that. And I just pray that as they come to faith, they will share with their families, they will share with other inmates, other people going through the GED classes, they will share what they have found in Christ. Thank you for hearts that say yes. And thank you for a challenge for us to do so as well. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.